It's time!
Happy number one medal! The eagle rises again! 29-0.
That's it! He's got the chance!
Nate Diaz!
He's out!
He has done it! It is all over! Nate Diaz beats Conor McGregor!
What a night, ladies and gentlemen! What a night!
Rose Lava, you're trying to close the show!
She was doing a great job of face.
That is it!
You're listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into yet another installation of Pound for Pound. I am going to be your A-host for this week, Mahdi Dembele, joined once again by Zach Cordova and William Jing. We're going to take you around the fight world, combat sports, both boxing and mixed martial arts. A juicy week and a juicy episode for you guys here today. But like a good left hook and lead jab, I got my two wonderful co-hosts. Guys, how are we doing today? I mean, there's a lot going on. So how you guys feeling?
Doing good, man. It was crazy weekend. I mean, Bilal Muhammad is now a world champion, and yes, anything is possible, I guess. But I mean, I'm doing good, man. It's an exciting time in combat sports, whether or not, you know, some results are not necessarily the preferred one.
Doing great as well, except for the fact I was just talking to Zach about this before we started recording, just pretty hopped in, Mahdi. So apparently I've had mono for the past like month. And I knew I was sick, but I didn't know it was mono. I only knew after I took my blood yesterday. So, but other than that, I'm feeling great and, you know, still staying blessed and everything. So I'm happy to get right into it with you guys.
To get it rocking, to get it rolling, we'll recover, get better. But I know when you're talking combat sports, all the sickness just leaves your body. We're going to start off here at the top of the show, and we're going to review UFC 304. We're not going to start talk about Bilal Muhammad just yet. We're going to leave that for a little bit later. What we are going to do is talk about Tom Aspinall and his dismantling of Curtis Blaydes. Guys, we said it on episodes previous and past. Tom Aspinall, for the size, he's fluid, 6'2", 6'3". I mean, everything, TKO, KO in round one with a minute left to go. You see how he lets his hands go. You see how well he moves for a guy at that division. And then he calls out John Jones. He says that, hey, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where you are, but I'm going to beat you. And when I eventually get you in the cage, I will become victorious. John has remained speechless. So, guys, Tom Aspinall, I know he's kind of been pushed to the back burner. But again, I talked about him last week being one of the three-headed monsters in that division. Guys, do you think that he's forced Dana's hand? And if he has, who wins the fight between John Jones and Tom Aspinall?
I mean, man, it's impossible. I feel like it's impossible to say he's forcing Dana's hand at this point. I think it's something that's got to happen at this point, yeah. Whether it's forcing Dana's hand or it's just fate at this point. Tom Aspinall has proven he is, if not the best, one of the best heavyweights in the world, the other one being John Jones, where I kind of feel like Jones is a mystery right now because we only got to see him fight Gon for, I want to say, around 2 minutes in that fight. So we don't really know what John really looks like at heavyweight, how deep he can really go. But let me tell you this, Tom Aspinall, what he did to Curtis Blaydes this weekend, nobody does to Curtis Blaydes. I mean, Curtis Blaydes, one of the best heavyweights in the world, as well-rounded as it gets. He can wrestle, he can strike, power, precision, everything. The guy's done five rounds before. He's been able to he's been in the fire before and as battle tested as they come. And Tom Aspinall runs him over like he's not even in the same arena as him. Like it was really something to see. Tom Aspinall just continues to assert himself as the best heavyweight in the world. And a lot of people were talking before this fight of if Tom Aspinall wins and he's able to run through Blaydes, they're looking at this as a legitimate, undisputed title defense. And honestly, after seeing that, I couldn't argue with it. I could not say that there is a better heavyweight in the world than Tom Aspinall right now.
For me, I mean, I was also just a shock to see if the match go, you know, and finish that fast. And as far as As far as fighting John Jones goes, I mean, John Jones, I just looked it up, only has one loss under his belt. So it's obviously tough to beat somebody like him. But I think if they're going to fight, I think it really comes down to when they're going to fight. I think that, like, it really, the result's going to depend on how much rest each guy has. I think if Tom Aspinall has obviously fought more recently. So if it's going to be something where, they fight soon after his previous fight, I think someone who's experienced as John Jones is going to be able to pick him apart. But I think if it's going to be something where Tom Aspinall is given enough time to recover and he's, basically 100% and all guns blazing going into this fight against John Jones, I think that the fact that he's younger and also is red hot, I think that'll give him the edge.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and here's
Will.
an interesting thing to think of, I think, when you
Okay.
talk about Tom Aspinall fights and how quick they, sorry before you jump in, Madi, before you just talk about how good he is the guy has not, I forget how many UFC fights it is now, but it's a good amount. He's had a handful of UFC fights, and he hasn't been in the octagon for more than 15 minutes in all of his fights combined. He has not been through a 15 minutes in the octagon, which is a normal time for a scheduled 3-round bout. The guy just can't get out of the first round, and because he's good, and I see Aspinall tested, really give him that test. And I don't know, John Jones is an animal, he's a different breed, and he always steps to the challenge. That's why he's known as the greatest of all time. But I don't know, man. Aspinall is coming for that throne, and he can't be denied.
I mean, I'm teetering in between you guys when I say this. I mean, like, Will, the same sentiment, it still goes. Like, somebody got to beat John Jones, and I'm gonna believe him when I see it. John Jones truly is the greatest, but Tom Aspinall, with every single time that he steps into the octagon, you see it with Volkov, you see it with Curtis Blades. Well, excuse me, you see it with Volkov, Curtis Blades, you see it with Marcin Tybura, you see it with a Pavlovich. I mean, the resume just keeps stacking up, and at a certain point, you're gonna have to let go of the past and recognize that this guy is here. If there's a time to make this fight, it is now. You don't want it to be when John Jones is 40 or well, or after his like last hurrah. It has to be now. And Tom Aspinall has, again, with another impressive win in the first round. Guys are not getting out of the first round. Like Zach said, he's winning the heavyweight division over and the fans over as well. Tom Aspinall, a rising star in the UFC, but he is not the champion, unlike my good friend. Remember the name, Bilal Muhammad, Zach Cordova. I'm looking directly at you. Not a hater. You're not an enjoyer either. He gets it done against Leon Edwards, and I gotta say, he completely dominated him. Guys, I just want your general reactions. What did you think of the fight? I mean, were you surprised at the amount of times that Bilal was able to put Leon to the canvas? Like, what were you thinking when you were watching this, Zach? I want to start off with you.
That's
It
exactly what
says
I
it
was
all.
thinking. I just laughed, man. I can't believe Leon got dropped on his head. I can't believe he got picked up and thrown as many times as he did. I can't
Yes,
believe,
he did.
I guess I could believe it a little bit because Leon in the past has shown glimpses of him being a quitter every now and then, and you have the corner trying to fire him up right before he goes out for a final round, and even this time pleading with him, Leon, please throw everything you can at him. And man, Bilal is champion. I can't grasp it. Listen, I'm not saying Bilal's a bad fighter. I just think that the way his style was and his rising through the UFC, I never thought the win streak was necessarily the most impressive in terms of the name and the way he got it done. Everything always going by decision, very few finishes, but I guess you could say Leon's similar. But Saturday night was Bilal Muhammad's night, and you could tell, man, he worked his butt off for that one. He was in incredible, incredible shape. He was absurdly strong. I mean, Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington, two guys who have been
Doing.
kind of the undisputed some best wrestlers in that division and in the UFC altogether, couldn't even take Leon down the way that Bilal Muhammad did. I mean, Bilal Muhammad comes in and picks him up and slams him over and over and over again. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So, and even the hands too. He was making fun, saying that his hands looked like Canelo the whole week and how the boxing has really improved. I didn't believe it, but it really did. The jab looked snappy. He kept putting it on Leon, and Leon couldn't figure it out. The uppercuts kept landing, and at the end of the day, Leon, or Bilal Muhammad Remember the name. He is champion, man.
Remember
What a moment.
the name. Remember the name indeed.
I mean, I'm not shocked about the result as much as I think Zach is. I mean, it's surprising, but I don't think I'm in as much pure shock. What did shock me was like, oh my, that the time where Leon just gets dropped on his head. Like, that was completely unprotected, man. Just that wasn't even like he basically slam pile drived him. Like that was just, I think after that point, you're not gonna come back from that. Like just pure zero protection drop straight on the top of your dome. Like, yikes, man.
As
I feel
someone,
bad for Leon Edwards after that. That's not a common occurrence, especially as a but I mean, congratulations to Bilal, because I mean he did a like Zach said, you know, he did a good job preparing for this fight,
a
obviously.
fantastic job. And guys, if I could just throw this at you, 19 fights. Yes, 19, almost 20 fights. He's had the most number of UFC fights in history to get to the welterweight title. Guys, this sentiment was shared with a guy like Leon Edwards, a guy who is constantly disrespected and a guy who was never thought to be a winner. The same sentiment was for Bilal Muhammad, even as he stacked wins against Damian Maia and Wonderboy Thompson, big names. But again, the decisions and people not liking his fight style. He's finally at the top. I mean, guys, and he seems to be getting better and better. Like, this decision was much better than his past decisions. He's picking up guys, he's slamming them. I mean, where does he go as a fighter? Like, where do you think the power comes in next? Do you think he starts knocking out people? Like, how far does the title run go? How does it look? Jack, you're lacking. Anything is possible. Guys get better. Kamaru developed a knockout shot before he was just a wrestler, but guys get better.
Yeah, but we're talking about Kamaru Usman and Bilal Muhammad. And I'm not saying he can't do it because the hands were very, very much improved. Like that was night and day compared to what we've seen Bilal Muhammad do before. And I'm going to give him his credit. He looked phenomenal on the feet. He outstruck Leon Edwards, who is hailed as one of the great, great strikers in the UFC. And Bilal made it look easy almost. And adding the knockout punch, and he's coming out here and knocking dudes out left and right. That's just not Bilal Muhammad. That's not his fight style. But if he's able to get more matchups, and in this welterweight division, there's so many killers. I don't honestly don't, and I'm not trying to hate on him. I don't think he holds the belt for that long when you got guys like Shavkat, JDM, even Hamzat, if he wants to come back down to 170, just knocking on the door. And those are tough, tough fights. I mean, we're not talking about guys who are going to quit in the third round like Leon Edwards. We're talking about Shavkat Rakhmonov, who has 100% finish rate through, I believe, 18 fights now, something we haven't really ever seen before. And I don't think he retains the title too long. I think what's next for him, I think I would love to see JDM and Shavkat fight later this year. I think that's the number one contenders match. And I think winner of that goes on to fight Bilal Muhammad. If we don't just go straight away, Shavkat versus Bilal Muhammad, I think at this point I've seen what I need to see, give him Shavkat. But I don't know, man. What's next for Bilal Muhammad? I think a long recovery and a long celebration for him because he has earned it. He took that belt back to Chicago. He's going to take that belt back to Palestine with and celebrate with his people over there. We know who he does it for, and I'm happy for him and for what he stands for as a person. This is huge for him. So I
Absolutely.
just know the future in that division, tough. A lot of killers in that division, but for now, he can rest. He deserves it.
Remember the name, gentlemen. Remember the name. Bilal Muhammad is your UFC champion at welterweight. So it may not last long, but respect it while it's here. Zach, I'm going to do you a favor and we're going to jump forward. We're going to stop talking about UFC 304 and we're going to talk about this UFC Abu Dhabi fight night card. A lot of interesting fights going on. I want to start at the top here. Umar Nurmagomedov versus Corey Sandhagen. Interesting fight. I mean, I believe Nurmagomedov is a minus 298 favorite. I think he's a heavy favorite in that fight. So if there's anything that we see here, me personally, I mean, I'm looking at the family lineage. Obviously, the cousin to Khabib, he's 17 and 0, five of those coming inside the UFC. I am scared of the inactivity. I believe he's had a couple of withdrawals and he's had five, six total canceled fights, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe some of that is due to finding an opponent. His last one was against a UFC newcomer. But Corey Sandhagen is indeed a solid test. He has a 10-3 record, all three losses coming to UFC champions. He's rattled off three straight wins since dropping the interim bantamweight title to Petr Yan by decision, with all three wins against top 10 opponents. So, guys, is there anything that you see here? If you have early picks, go ahead and just shoot them at me.
I'm gonna go with
Okay.
I'm gonna go I'll go first. I'm gonna go with Sandhagen. I think these are both two great competitors. I think it's not gonna be, one-sided like I'm blanking on the fight we were just talking about. That was a 1-minute knockout.
He can't remember the name. He couldn't remember the name.
But
That's
I think
the whole
this
running
was.
joke in the MMA community because Bilal na nickname is "Remember the Name." So when anyone forgets, it's immediately just, "Oh, he can't remember the name." Sorry, I had to butt in on
Are you good?
that.
I'm gonna go with Sandhagen though. I think this is gonna be a close fight, but I think it's gonna go the distance, and I think Sandhagen is gonna pull it out.
Going the distance. I kind of like that pick. I think this fight, 5 rounds, I don't see Nurmagomedov as a finisher. I see him as yet another decision merchant, and he's going to hold on to dear life if he can to Corey Sandhagen, because Corey Sandhagen has the advantage on the feet. And just as you brought up, Mahdi, the concern for me here is the lack of experience for Umar Nurmagomedov. The pulling out of fights, not really fighting really any other top 10 talent, any really other top 15 talent up to this point. And Corey Sandhagen has been in there with the best of them. He's proven himself over and over again as one of the best guys in this division, in a bantamweight division that is just blossoming. And I'm going to side with Will here. I think Corey Sandhagen is the pick for this weekend. I just think that he's really worked on his overall game. The grappling is very, very much improved. We saw that last time out when he fought Chito Vera and he took him down and was able to control the entire fight on the ground. Whether it was boring or not, he showed us the side of his game that we have not really seen before. And we know Corey Sandhagen's striking is incredibly creative and powerful. And I think that he just beats Nurmagomedov really anywhere it goes, except for maybe the ground if he's able to hold him down. But I think Corey's shown me enough at this point to where he can defensively wrestle and be able to get back to his feet if he needs to.
I think the Chito Vera, that point that you bring up is it's a very, very good point. Here's the thing about Nurmagomedov. It hasn't been much, but what we've seen is he's looked nigh unbeatable when he's actually in the ring. Something that's similar to Khabib. I'm not too enamored with an undefeated record, right? There's a lot of context there, but when you don't lose a round, it's really like you dominate from start to finish. And yes, it may be on the ground, it may not be entertaining, and that may be his only advantage. But when you do something extremely, extremely well, I mean, variety doesn't have to be your spice of life. I'm thinking Beneil Dariush, not a high variety skill set, but he does the things that he does really, really well. I'm gonna go with you guys on Corey Sandhagen. I like the fight experience. I like that his only three losses have come to UFC champions. But Umar Nurmagomedov is someone to look out for, surely, as the future goes on. I think he's gonna be excellent in the UFC. But we're gonna move on from that fight. Another fight that I'm really, really interested in. Marlon Vera, we already mentioned him. He's gonna be taking on Davidson Figueiredo. We saw Chito Vera last time out, and I was a bit disappointed, Zach. I watched that fight with you. It kind of seemed like he was stagnant. I don't know if that's just a Sugar Sean effect. I don't know if that just happens to you, but Davidson Figueiredo is bad. Zach, I point this towards you. Does Chito Vera have a bounce back? I mean, certainly he does, but do you think he gets it done against Davidson Figueiredo?
It's tough to say because I would like to say that Chito does have a bounce back, because Chito has proven to us over and over again that he belongs at the top of this division. And he had a tough fight against Sean, and Sean just picked him apart for 5 rounds. But there's one takeaway from that fight that you can say is positive for Chito Vera, and it is the chin, because that man could take anything and keep moving forward. I mean, that knee from Sean O'Malley that snapped his head back and everything still just did not faze him. So if there's anything what I'm looking at going into a Chito Vera fight is how does that durability hold up against the kind of guy he's fighting now? He's a very, very slow starter, and that has been the problem pretty much his entire career, is he can't get going early. And this is a 3-round fight where Figueiredo, in his two fights now in the bantamweight division, has looked very good. He beats Rob Font, and then he beats Cody Garbrandt by sub. I kind of want to roll with Figgy on this one. I really think that he is good enough to come back for a second belt in another weight class. And I think if he wins this fight, you can't deny him. That's three ranked opponents in a row if he wins this fight. And he should definitely have his claim to Sean O'Malley at that point, because you see other champions move up divisions and beat usually one or two contenders, and they're getting a title shot. Feels a little bit delayed for Figgy. I feel like after that last win, maybe he could have even made a claim, but this division in itself is very stacked.
Yes, it is.
But back to this fight, I think it's so tough to me. This is a 50-50, I feel like, but I feel like Figueredo has the edge with the momentum he's been on, the way he's fought in this division so far. He's looked very good. So I think that the power and everything has translated well. I'd like to see him, and I think he will win this weekend.
I'm gonna go with Figueiredo for this one, and I think partially is because, I mean, he just has a better track record, so I think that says a lot. And the other thing is, when I was doing my research for this, apparently he's taken on help from Khabib, so I think if there's anything that like is gonna push him over the edge as far as my pick goes, I was already leaning that way, and then I was like, you're gonna get help from a legend. I don't know if your opponent, especially if your opponent just doesn't have the track record that you do, I don't think that's going to be able to be overcome. So I'm gonna go with Figueiredo.
I like the Figueiredo pick. I mean, again, two, not one, but two storied runs at flyweight there. He moved up to 135 back in December. And again, like you said, Zach, the Rob Font, who's an excellent boxer, Cody Garbrandt, no love, who we love at the show here on Pound for Pound. I mean, he's going to take on a number 10 ranked guy who's really better than a number 10. Chito Vera hasn't lost consecutive fights since February of 2018. And I don't think that's gonna happen now. I'm gonna split the difference with you guys just for discourse. And I'm gonna go with Marlon Vera just off of that simple fact. Look, I know he's a very, very slow starter, but once the flurry comes, I do believe that it will be enough to overcome Davidson Figueiredo because we have seen him when he gets into his groove as the fight goes on. I do think Sugar Sean O'Malley is a different level. I do think he was able to freeze that off, but I do think Sean's a different level. Davidson is as well. But Marlon Vera, again, I think once that flurry comes where he's set and he feels comfortable in the fight, almost like downloading information, I think he'll be okay. I like Figueiredo a lot. Give me Marlon Vera. Give me Marlon Vera. I think it's an interesting pick, and I think it gives us discourse for next week's episode if it happens. But I think he could pull this one out of the fire, and it will be a very, very impressive win, and he'll surely rise away from a number 10 at where he currently is ranked now. But the fight that we've all been wanting to talk about, Zach dropped it in the group chat today. Tony freaking Ferguson is back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, he is El Cucuy. He's coming back for this event, and he's going to be taking on Michael Chiesa, who is a very, very solid opponent, a nice name on a resume. We remember him from his fight with Kevin Lee. Will, is there anything that you like particularly about this fight? I mean, Tony Ferguson has been on a mean streak of just losing recently. So what's really the UFC's intention of keeping him around? And do you think he'll be able to pull off this fight? If he does he stay? Like, where does he go from here? What are the implications for one Tony Ferguson in this fight?
Well, I think Tony Ferguson has a name to him. I think that's definitely one reason that UFC continues to keep him around. I think, it's a business decision, right? Like, if you have somebody that's gonna sell tickets, like any promoter for fighting, boxing, wrestling, like anybody's gonna want that. So I think that's part of the reason why, he's kept around. I mean, think about it, bro. UFC once had CM Punk, so just think about it that way, right? And CM Punk's obviously made for a different world, but I think it's hard to see me it, to see Ferguson winning, coming back. And so I think to reverse all the momentum so quickly, I think it's going to be hard. I think he can get back to some winning ways, but I think it's going to take a little bit of time. I don't think, like I said before, because of his name, I don't think that they're gonna just straight up be like, yeah, we're done with you, because again, he has enough name power and enough ticket selling ability, so they're gonna keep him around. And I think, how he kind of fares in his following few fights, I think that's going to be a bigger indicator. But of course, I think if you can pull this one out and get the momentum, back on the right track right away, it's, it works out all the better for him.
Getting back track. I love about fight weekend. All random that comes out after the different things that last. Fighting the title from here. That's where I think is the will be about Tony Ferguson. Thinking this he's always got always in your is up for it's just again with like he's another man who is off and Tony Ferguson now 40 years age being set I so taking anymore hurts my heart every time but Tony's not the same anymore. And this one is before we back in, we see on purpose.
Little audio issues there, but Zach, I get your point exactly. Tony is not the same guy anymore. I mean, like, we love to reminisce, and we used to do this with Canary all the time on the show, but he was just running through 155, him and Khabib at the same exact time, and they had nothing to fight for because Conor was making a bajillion dollars with Mayweather. And we would have loved to see Tony hold the belt potentially at one time, and then you have the cursed fight between him and Khabib. So Tony's just one of the greatest what ifs, and to see his fall from grace has to be one of the most painful things here. But it's going to be a shot in the dark. What the hell? Give me Tony Ferguson, El Cucuy, to get it done. One of my all-time favorite fighters for that exact reason. Brings the fight all the time. He's a fan favorite. Win, lose, or draw, you know you're going to get a good one. Michael Chiesa is a very, very solid opponent. Ladies and gentlemen, do not sleep on one Michael Chiesa, very tough veteran, seasoned veteran in the UFC. I mean, like, he's been fighting for a very, very long time. Good length, good size. I mean, he's fought in lightweight and welterweight. I'm very impressed with his resume, the Maverick, as they call him. He's been on a losing streak, however. Very, very good opponents. Kevin Holland, Sean Brady, Vicente Luque. But there's also RDA on that resume. There's also guys like Carlos Condit. There's a fight against Anthony Pettit, which he lost, but still. Kevin Lee's on that resume. Beneil Dariush is on that resume. But for the thrills and for the good times, give me one Tony Ferguson. I'm praying for him, as I always do in his last eight fights in which he lost. I'm gonna roll with my boy Tony. Ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna do it for our MMA segment right now. But we're gonna jump over to the boxing ring, and things get interesting here. Boxing's starting to pick up, and I think we gotta give it credit, guys. I mean, like, we're getting more events now. Guys are going back and forth. We're getting a lot more fights in the ring than we are on like Twitter, per se. And one of those big fights coming to you August 3rd is one Terrence Bud Crawford. He's making his 154-pound debut. That's going to be junior middleweight debut against one Israel Madrimov. And it's not an easy fight. I know Terrence Bud Crawford may be one or two of the best boxers in the world, but Israel Madrimov, just like Bud, is a fantastic switch hitter. He has good size, good power, and excellent footwork. Guys, Terrence Bud Crawford, do you think he makes his splash at 154? And do you think he eventually gets to the top? Or is Israel Madrimov going to present enough of a challenge to take home the win? Will, I'll start with you.
I think Madrimov is a little too much here. Not that Crawford isn't good, but I think just entering a new weight division and then Madrimov being I think bigger and stronger, possibly more athletic. So I think again, not a knock on Crawford. Crawford's really good, but I just think Madrimov is gonna have the little edge here. I think Crawford could eventually become more successful in the weight division as time goes on, but I think to start off. It's going to be a tough battle from him.
Really? So you so is this a Madrimov pick? Are we picking Israel Madrimov to beat Terrence Crawford? That's a bold one, Will. You're going against the grain. I'm gonna come back at you with this. I mean, like, Bud Crawford, excellent switch hitter, excellent power. We saw what he did to Errol Spence, though I do acknowledge that wasn't the best Errol Spence, but Bud Crawford's as perfect as a fighter as you're gonna come. Israel Madrimov may not be an A plus fighter like Bud, I do think he's a little better than giving credit for. And maybe that's just enough to get it done. But when you're talking about the magnitude, like, do you think this is a knockout? I think I'll get to my question. Is it a knockout? Do you think he knocks him out, or do we have a round in mind? Do you think it's a decision? Where are we going with it?
I think it's going to be a late knockout. I don't think it's going to be right away. I don't think it, but I don't think it's going to be, it's going to, I don't think Crawford's going to hang in there long enough for Madrinov not to take him out. So I think some point late in the game when, Crawford possibly starts to, I think the size disadvantage is going to eventually get to him. And I think that might cause him to tire out a little bit after, dealing with that the whole fight. And then I think at the end, possibly one or two mistakes and boom.
I mean, size difference. I mean, Madrimov's slightly the bigger guy, like 5'8 to 5'9, and he's the natural 154 guy. Bud's coming up from 147. But I mean, like, when you have power like that, it translates really well. Will, I'm gonna go against the grain, and I'm gonna go with the popular opinion because he's been probably the best pound for pound, or one of the two best pound for pound fighters for the last half decade, a little bit more than half decade now. I'm gonna go Terrence Bud Crawford. I don't know if it's by knockout. I don't think he's gonna knock out Israel Madrimov. I do think it's gonna be a decision. He has aspirations of going three times undisputed. Jerron Boots Ennis is gonna be in the back view mirror for now, in my opinion. And he has aspirations to going up to 168. I do think he will have power there eventually because he wants his Canelo fight. I think he'll be okay at 154. I think he can stand up to say a guy like Sebastian Fundora or Tim Zhu, the two guys at the top of the division. I think Israel Madrimov is going to be a very, very solid test. But I think ultimately Bud Crawford is going to take it. But Israel Madrimov, he's laser focused. He's laser focused. It's going to be a good fight. Give me Bud to win. Zach, if you're joining us, if your audio's okay, I mean, jump in here. Do you have any opinions? Madrimov 10-0 and 1-7 KOs against Crawford 40-0 with 31 KOs. So what are we thinking, Zach? Okay, so Zachariah Cordova not able to join us for this segment. I think it's just going to
I
be
heard
me.
that, didn't you?
Oh, you heard his pick.
Yeah, he was agreeing with me.
There you go. You caught me. That was very good, Will Chang. Very good. You cheeky one. You cheeky one. Let's jump over to the other fight in this card. I mean, like, it's a solid enough card for, I mean, like, for everybody to watch. The one that Zach wanted to talk about was the Andy Ruiz comeback. I mean, Andy Ruiz, we saw what he did to Anthony Joshua the first time around, loses his belt the second time around. He has weight issues, and he never really comes to the forefront as really the fourth guy in that heavyweight, like, MisterCast of himself, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, and Deontay Wilder. It's a different cast of characters. Anthony Joshua, you saw what Chisora just did in the upset win over Joel Joyce. So it's a bunch of guys, and Ruiz has been in the back burner, but now he takes on Big Baby Miller, who had an excellent fight against Daniel Dubois, which still resonates in my head. Do you think, Will, that Andy Ruiz is able to get it done? Do you think he's able to bring himself back to the forefront, or do you think Big Baby Miller just walks all over him?
Tough. I'm a
Tough. That's exactly what did I say before the show? It's a tough fight, Gerald Miller, especially for Andy Ruiz. He fell back into the purview.
Yeah, I mean, I think Andy Ruiz is gonna have enough heart in this one. I think he'll get it done. But it's gonna be a tough battle. Another one where I don't think it's gonna be an early knockout. It could be a late knockout, could be by decision. This is not something where I would gamble on how it finishes. That this is not one of them. But I will take Andy Ruiz. I think he does have the heart to overcome this obstacle. And yeah, what about you, Marty?
Me, you know what? Like I say, Gerald Miller is one of those guys, man. 6'4", 78-inch reach. I mean, 79, almost 80% knockout percentage, 26, 1-1, 22 KOs, and the guy's a monster. He's someone that you look at. The last fight against Daniel Dubois, I mean, like, he was wishing initially, so that's why I'm scared as the fight goes on with him. It's not good, but then there's Lucas Brown. There's Derek Sardines. There's like Johan Duhapis. Like, it's Like, he's dangerous, man. He really, really is. Dan, and I'm not scared. Andrew Ruiz is not scared of the size discrepancy, right? I think it's only 2 inches, and they'll perhaps maybe be the same way as Fight Night comes around. Because last time you remember, he took out Anthony Joshua, who towered over him, 6'6", 6'7", built like Adonis. So size won't be the factor here. Andrew Ruiz does have the heart. He does indeed have the heart. He'll keep pushing. He works the jab extremely well. I like his 1-2s combinations. Give me Gerald Miller, man. I just think it's his time. I think Andy Ruiz, I think his time has just passed, really, to tell you the truth. I think he got complacent, especially with the weight. And I just think it's time for Gerald Miller's of the world. Even though he's 36 years old, and I believe Andy Ruiz is a bit younger. I think it's time for Andy Ruiz to, I think he's faded into the purview. Zach, I mean, jump in here, please, brother. If you have a prediction for last fight, Bud Madrimov and this one, please just lay it on us.
Well, for first, can do I sound all right?
Yes, you do, brother. Of course, you sound.
Okay. Couple more weeks of Zoom recording and then we are back in the studio and
We're
never have
back.
to deal with this again. But Bud Crawford for the last one, I think that's an obvious pick. I'm not gonna ramble on for too long, but Bud Crawford, I think, is one of the best fighters in the world, if not the best fighter in the world. So I can't see myself picking against him, against really anyone, unless he's fighting Canelo. So it's always gonna be Bud Crawford for me for my pick. For this fight, I think Andy Ruiz just has that dog in him. I think he's every time he's in the ring, he's shown it. I think that's how he got the win against AJ. However, like you say, man, his opponent is tough.
Gerald Miller,
So,
maybe. It's a good one.
and with the size, with the guys that big, it always is just it takes one. It just takes one shot. So, I don't know. I kind of want to go with the Andy Ruiz pick just because I know he's got that dog in him. I know he's gonna go for the knockout whenever he can. And I don't know, man. It just feels right. I'm going with the gut pick this week because I don't know why. I have a weird feeling about it.
I mean, and that weird feeling has you with the majority. Andy Ruiz Jr. is actually going to be the favorite in this fight. So it looks like I'm the odd man now. It's something that always happens. If you're a fan of this podcast, you know that it's just something that happens, especially with me. But I'm not mad at the pick, man. Andy Ruiz has shown it before. Who's to say that it ever goes? They say the last thing to go in boxing is your power, but it may seem like the last thing to go is, in fact, your heart. That will remain to be seen for these two. But for other boxing news, I just really want to bring this up. Tank Davis, PBC fighter, and Shakur Stevenson, a fight between these two guys to unify the belt at 135 seems to be in talks. And I got to tell you, I'm not the biggest fan of this fight. Like, if I had my dream fight, I'd probably go Tank and Dale if that fight was to ever come around. But I'm telling you, I really don't want a Shakur Tank fight. I would rather much prefer a Shakur and maybe Pitbull too, or a Shakur and Keyshawn Davis, even though that's a bit too early. But Shakur's probably going to sign a deal with the PBC. It's probably going to be a 1-year deal or a short-term deal, and they'll probably get it done. I mean, guys, initial implications of this news, what do you think of it? And if they do get in the ring, obviously, I think Tank is going to be the favorite among us all. But, what do you see in this? Like, is there anything that you guys want to add?
I think it's going to be a competitive fight. I mean, but why is it that you say you don't want to see it?
Because I just think two fights of Shakur in a row, you just find out like what this guy is. I mean, like one boring fight, it's one boring fight. Every single fighter has it. But then two straight fights in a row where, and in the second fight, it wasn't like the first fight. That's the thing. The first fight was a very, very bad showing by Shakur. He even acknowledged it. He said he was going to win. He told this to Bud Crawford. He said he was going to win, but it wasn't going to be a good fight because he had the injury. Second fight around, he actually performed well. That's the misconception. People think he didn't perform well. He did. But it was just a really, really boring fight. That's the thing. I just don't know if Shakur has the, like I said, Zach, and you said it wasn't that, but I don't think he has the dog to go get somebody if they're not in his face. That's why I think a guy like William Cepeda, if he was to face like a Mexican slugger, he'll probably knock them out because he'll probably, like, they'll come to him and he'll knock them out. But Shakur's not going to get anyone. And Tank is coming to get you. I don't know if you're able to withstand that. Really, I would push him to the back burner. There's a lot of other guys I'd rather see to push the envelope rather than one Shakur Stevenson.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, for me, I feel like Shakur has a chance though because of his boring style, right? Because I think that means he's gonna duck and dodge around a lot. And so I think it is possible. It's in the realm of possibility he wins by like a decision.
I don't think that's how you beat Tank. I think you got to hit Tank. I think you got to hit him just like Pitbull. That was his best fight to date. That was the guy that gave him the most competition. You got to hit him and make him box, because if you allow Tank to turn it into a fight, you will get slept, and you don't sit, you don't stand in his face, and you don't box with Tank. I think Shakur's going to get in there and box. I think he's going to get knocked out in the seventh or eighth.
Really?
I
Okay.
actually, and if you're able to hear me, I actually agree with Will, believe it or not. I think that Shakur's ability to, I guess, kind of make it a boring fight would benefit him in a Tank Davis rematch, because a lot of the time we see Tank catching these guys is when they're getting overly aggressive, when they're coming in and throwing heavy at him, and Tank slips and catches him in the counter. He's a counter puncher. That's what he's good at. He's good at baiting people in and learning patterns. While the boring technique could work and just like trying to outpoint him and win rounds could work, he can't get repetitive. And that's the biggest thing for him, is if he gets repetitive, Tank's going to learn that pattern. He's going to drop him. So it happens every time. But if he can find a way to stay out of danger and also win rounds, he could do it. There's a thing with Tank when he fights, is he drops rounds very early in the fight because he's just kind of chasing. He's kind of learning. He's just scouting his opponent, trying to see where the openings are, and eventually gets a knockout. Well, if Shakur's able to win those rounds early and stay safe later because he's not putting himself in danger or he's not hunting a knockout, I think he's got a real shot. And I think that you say the two boring performances, would say maybe I don't want to see this fight because, hey, he's put up two stinkers in a row now. But I think if anything, what he needs more is a big name, dangerous fight like this to get his name back out there, to be relevant, to prove that he's a champion. And I would love to see a matchup like this.
I gotta tell you, I'm gonna have to disagree with you. I understand what you're saying, because usually the guys that Tank beats, they get overzealous, they make a mistake, boom, he knocks them out. That's why William Zabetta would be a bad fight, the same way Leo Santa Cruz was tailor-made for him, the same way that Pitbull was really tailor-made for him, but made a good fight. Same way Ryan was tailor-made for him, though he had a chance. I thought Ryan had the best chance because you have to be long, athletic, tall, with and a big puncher, which Ryan is. I think you guys are looking at it like Shakur is a completely better boxer than Tank. If he wants to sit there and box with Tank, Tank is able to box you out. It's not just the knockout with Tank. He can really, really box. I think it's going to be one of those situations where Tank just gets in there and he's going to be able to do whatever he wants. He's going to see a guy who's not pushing the envelope and who's just sitting back and like, oh, okay, he doesn't want, I'm going to go to him, and he's not good with pressure. That's the thing about Shakur. He's not good with pressure. I'm gonna go with Tank by seventh and eighth round here. I gotta tell you again, Shakur can win as anything. He has a puncher's chance. Maybe he catches, well, not a puncher's chance, a boxer's chance, if we're being honest with Shakur. But that's the best case scenario that we could ask for with a Shakur Stevenson. I'm gonna go with Tank here. I think he cleans him up easy.
And what I'm not saying that I'm not picking Tank, because I'm picking Tank for that fight. But what I'm saying is I think Will does have a point about Shakur's style and how it could actually benefit him in this fight, because we've seen exciting, powerful fighters be kind of negated by a style that I guess favors a decision or favors winning rounds over being exciting, promoting action. And I think if there's one way that we haven't seen somebody go in and try to beat Tank, it's that way. Because I think everyone's tried to go through him. Ryan goes in there and tries to catch him with the left hook. He's being aggressive, throwing early. Well, he gets caught because Tank slips and counter punches him. Frank Martin, same thing. Not early, but later on, is able to get able. He gets caught because he's going in hunting another knockout, and Tank exposes him. It just happens over and over again. So I think I'm curious to see if an approach like that would be actually effective.
Do you have
a
anything could
prediction,
happen
Zach,
in the
or?
world of boxing. Yeah, Will?
I was going to ask if Zach has a prediction, or I could give a
Okay,
prediction.
I like that, Will. I love that. Zach, do we have a prediction?
Oh, a prediction for that? I'm
Yeah.
going Tank, man. I'm going Tank by knockout. I don't
Tank by
think there's
knockout in
any
the
other
seventh.
way Tank Davis fights. I think he's a better fighter than Shakur Stevenson. But I am curious to see how the styles mesh in the ring and how it goes down, because I feel like this is an interesting one where we kind of don't know what's going to happen going in. We don't know what Shakur's game plan is going to be. I feel like you got to change it up a little bit when you fight Tank, but we'll see if it ever happens.
Okay.
I got a prediction. I got five words. Shakur by decision, Enough said.
Okay. William Jing
The
leads it.
Bilal Muhammad method.
If Bilal, stop it. Stop it. He's earned it, Zach. You're going to enjoy this title run. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it all for today. A lot of discourse. Boys, doesn't that feel good to get it out of your, or rather, into your system when we talk MMA and boxing on the Pound for Pound podcast here at WFUV? Ladies and gentlemen, I have been your A-host for today. And like I always say, a good hook and a left jab. I have with me Zach Cordova and William Jing. Pound for Pound is a production of WFUV Sports. Have a wonderful day. Good night and good game.